today we are in mourning. We are going to hold a eulogy. R.I.P. Mommy's title,
right? Oh, I thought we were still talking about Roman.
Well, I mean, Roman had his eulogy on SmackDown, but for this particular episode of Raw, we are mourning Mommy in her title, right? But no, we're going to have a good conversation about that. Hi, all you BC WrestlePod nerds out there, and welcome to another rendition of the Raw Squad Review, your weekly WWE Monday Night Raw review team. I am your host, Mikey, a.k.a. El Jefe, the face that kind of runs the place, and, you know, the boss man around here at BC WrestlePod. And joining me this evening is my other cohort in the Raw Squad Review. First and foremost, it seems that he has locked Mini back in the basement. Señor Lucha Don't, welcome back to the podcast. Well, how are we?
Of course it did. Raw's the better show, so I mean, he can go pissed off to SmackDown land, that fucking dork.
Well, I got a question to ask you, Señor Lucha Don. Did you or did you not have anything to do with why Mini didn't show up when we did the SmackDown review?
I plead the fifth.
Okay. Good to know. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, on his official second Monday Night Raw review, Macho Rodriguez himself is back once again. Sir, thank you for being here.
Gracias por tenerme. I got to be honest. This Raw was, oof, like the Outkast song said, this is roses really smell like boo, 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 boo.
So we'll talk about it. Because there's going to be some agreements, there's going to be some disagreements, but we're going to have a good conversation. So let's just jump into it. Let's not wait any longer. Let's rip the Band-Aid off. Monday Night Raw this week kicks off with an in-ring segment from Rhea Ripley. She comes out in the arm sling, and we immediately know what that means. So Rhea gets into the ring. You could tell she's trying to not super emotional about it because she pauses a bunch, but ultimately she is going to be out for a couple of months. She has to vacate her title, but to every woman in that locker room, when she comes back, they better be ready because she's coming for blood. Which essentially brings out Liv Morgan. Her music hits, she comes out, she basks in the glory of everything that occurred. Rhea wants to fight her. Liv wants to fight her. Security and Adam Pearce say no about it. But this is the end of Mommy's championship reign over the last year and a half or so. So we're going to have a moment of silence for that. And we're back. Okay. Man, you know, regardless of how you feel about everything, it sucks, especially for Rhea, who've had this monumental title reign. And for it to kind of be cut short and she has to vacate it, it is unfortunate. However, I am leaning a little more towards the positive side because, like I said in our group chat the other day, it's really unfortunate that Rhea's title reign has been cut in half, but I have to give Rhea a lot of credit because she's had one hell of a title reign for the last year and a half or so. And what makes me even more excited is who's going to be next and kind of fill that role in for a little bit, at least until Rhea comes back. I know some people aren't as enthusiastic as I am, but I'm excited to see what is next for right now. But let's just go into it. Boys, first and foremost, how do we feel about Rhea vacating the title? And what are your thoughts of what's to come next? Anyone can start. Doesn't matter who.
You know, it sucks that Rhea's gone. She got hurt. It's unfortunate, but, you know, like we were saying before we started it, it's going to show the women's division is going to be getting real spicy here to see who's going to step up and do their thing.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you. It sucks that Rhea's out. I mean, she's just put herself... She was sorely missed yesterday. Being on one segment on Monday Night Raw, she was missed. They said it the other day. Judgment Day's all over. It was actually Bailey that said it. They do like four segments a night. and Rhea was definitely missing. She's the focal point of that. And they have the World Heavyweight Champion on the team. And it still feels like it's missing. Honestly, I think that this can either showcase the rest of the women's division or they can shock everybody. And this is the return of Alexa Bliss and she wins the title Monday as soon as she comes back. That would be dope. Anyone but Liv. That's all that matters to me. I mean, why couldn't she go with Minnie?
Ooh! You know, we're going to get to Liv in a moment because I feel like that we're going to have two differing opinions, but I'm excited to get that. But I also wanted to include this in this little segment, too. We do get a little nice moment with Rhea and the rest of Judgment Day. They have a really nice, wholesome moment. I'm like, aw.
Yeah.
And it's not even in the character. Like, if you follow all of them on Instagram, they literally have been traveling together since this group was put together. They literally travel everywhere as a group. They do everything together as a group. And I'm like, you guys, you can't make me cry. This is professional wrestling. I'm not supposed to feel things like this.
That's right. The only person allowed to cry is Cody.
Well, we're going to talk about Cody when we get there later because I was like, oh, okay. So this answers my question. We're good to go. But Rhea, from all three of us here at the Raw Squad Reviews, we wish you a speedy recovery. You enjoy, well, not necessarily enjoy, but take care of yourself. And we will be waiting for your return to come for blood because when Rhea comes back, it's game over and it's going to be fantastic.
Absolutely. If anybody knows how to book someone returning from injury, it's the guy currently in charge of creative. One of the biggest returns after injury was Madison Square Garden when Triple H made his return. We saw them take that and just give it like so much care. We saw him go right to the main event of WrestleMania against Chris Jericho. I am excited for when she returns. I think it's going to be special.
It is. So we go from one person having to say, you know, ta-ta for now, to someone returning after a long while.
Fella, love it.
Yeah, fella. So we get the return of Sheamus. I love that we got told ahead of time, hey, Sheamus is coming back. So we get a remix of his theme song, which was really, really nice. We also see that he switched up his gear a little bit, going from the Speedo to a little bit of biker shorts and looking thick with 3 C's as well, which I am not going to complain about. I was like, represent the plushie boys out here. But he returned and he had what a kick-ass match with Ivar, in my opinion. This was a fun match. I'm just happy to see Sheamus back. I've missed him so much. And I love that Michael Cole continued to point out the IC title is the only championship that Sheamus has yet to win in this company, which is kind of nuts to think about. But I thought this was a fun match. And also, as someone who reviews NXT, this also served as a nice, you know, continuation of still making Ivar look strong as he's gearing up to face Obafemi for that North American Championship at Spring Break-In in a couple of weeks. But I thought this was a nice return. This was fun. Sheamus picks up the win. I'm happy to see my jar of mayonnaise back on my television screen.
Your jar of mayonnaise?
Yes.
Like it with a little paprika on top. I like it.
It's just like
a little bit of, yeah. Sheamus is amazing. I mean, I think yesterday showed you the guy's been off of television since last August. He comes back and has a hell of a television match like that against. Now, Ivar is a solid worker, so it's obvious that it was going to be a good match, but just a test of strength that Sheamus showed when he did the white noise from the middle rope on a guy like Ivar. I was like, damn, bro, I missed this dude so much, so much. I loved it. Great job. I don't care how thick he is. I just need him in the ring.
Look, I like that he's thick. You got to represent the plushie boys out here, man. I was like, thick thighs save lives. That's all I'm going to say.
Absolutely.
Lucha don't. How did you feel about seeing, you know, Sheamus back?
It was nice seeing Sheamus come back, especially using the older theme song and everything like that. I'm happy he's looking healthy. He's looking good. Yeah, I'm excited to see where he goes with this IC belt thing.
I'm excited. I can't wait to see what story he's going to enter and who he's going to feud with. It's going to be a fantastic thing. I want to mention this because we got this throughout the whole evening, but there was a QR code, you know, at some point. And when you opened it up, it was an image of what I think if, and you know, I could be wrong, but there's a couple of imagery. There was a light with the crow and also the philosopher Plato and his statue head. I'm like, okay, Uncle Howdy is coming at some point. I'm super excited. And I love people posting on the internet, like during the intermission between things, like the lights will go off. They play strange music. I'm like, WWE needs a spooky character. And I'm with Triple H and Charms, I'm a little more positive towards it. But the legacy of Bray Wyatt and everything is about to come into its second chapter. So I'm excited as someone who really enjoyed Bray Wyatt, Wyndham Rotunda, and everything that he did for the company before his unfortunate passing. I'm excited. It's going to be great.
Yeah, I agree. Then, I love that Matt Hardy tweeted about it. I was like, hold on, dude. Like, I thought you worked for another company. What are you doing?
Oh, you didn't know. He's a free agent now. His contract expired a couple weeks ago.
Well, then bring the Hardy boys back. Give me Mr.
Well, Matt's a free agent. Jeff, I think, is still under contract with AEW. But I think Matt coming back to WWE would be fun, especially if you put him in this, you know, spooky faction that we're about to get. I think it's great. This was fun. Speaking of something that was fun, I nearly fell out of my chair on my couch watching this, but we get the new World Tag Team Championship presentation. And again, we say this every single week here. Me and Lucha don't say this, but R-Truth is a national treasure. Protect him at all costs.
Absolutely.
Fucking Lulu.
So, you know, I looked at the designs closely and I'm like, you know what? These actually aren't bad looking new titles. Like, so these are going to be the World Tag Team Championships, which I'm assuming the SmackDown ones are going to become the WWE Tag Team Championships to go with the names that we've named everything. Because the Women and the Men's Championship on Raw is your World Heavyweight Championships. And then WWE Championships for the Men and the Women are on SmackDown. So I'm expecting to see A-Town Down Under get some new ones. But R-Truth is a national treasure, and it was fun watching Triple H try not to crack up the whole entire time.
Yeah.
I'm like, Tommaso, what are you doing out here?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
That was absolutely amazing. Just the comedy in it, the back and forth. I even love Scrap Daddy Iron Pierce at the end saying you made Triple H run out of the ring. He's always going to be Scrap Daddy Iron Pierce to me. I don't care what he... That's just what he is. But yeah, I mean, just I loved it. I love the way that The Miz is always playing the straight man in this. Like, he's just so serious. He doesn't ever fall into the laughter. They're perfect together. I love that this tag team has gone so far back that we know that they used to be a heel dominant tag team back in the day. Main eventing a Survivor Series with The Rock and John Cena. And now they're here, tag team champions. I really, really think that everything that Miz said yesterday is what he did for the IC title. So I would not be surprised if he takes it on himself to bring these titles back, like to be like top notch, like tag team wrestling's where it's all about.
Absolutely. And then, you know, as you said, Adam Pearce then announces that we're going to have a triple threat match to see who would be facing Awesome Truth for the new World Tag Team Championships. And so then we get this triple threat match between DIY, the New Day, and the Creeds. Like, these are your three best tag teams, in my opinion. Well, I mean, I throw Judgment Day in there, but they're kind of... they're going through it right now with mommy not being there, but I mean, this was a fun triple threat. DIY picks up the victory, so Degeneration X 2.0 is going to be facing Awesome Truth for the titles, and I'm excited. I can't wait. Say what you will, I will am forever a DIY fan.
Yeah, agreed. Great job.
Speaking of New Day, Big E posted that he said that he's still not clear. He may never be clear, but he is pain-free.
Well, that's good.
That is always a good thing.
That's all we care about.
That's it, man. Live your life. Be happy. Those photos he posted of him and his girlfriend the other day were fucking hilarious.
Mike, Big E has always had such a good sense of humor. I think he's one of the funniest dudes on the planet. He doesn't take himself too seriously.
Oh, my God. Those photos were so funny. They were so funny.
I was like, for people of a certain age demographic here, they remind me of like back in the day when you went to go take family photos at like the local JCPenney or Sears.
Yes.
With that weird, with the odd backgrounds. I was like, we're old here. Anyways. So DIY is going to go on to face Austin Truth for the tag titles. I think it's going to be a phenomenal bout, but speaking of tag team matches, we get another match between this saga that we're getting, Candice LeRae and Indy Hartwell versus Maxine Dupri and Ivy Nile. Indy kind of embracing the heelness because she prevents Ivy from getting in the ring to allow Candice to pick up the victory for the team. I'm like, where are we going with this story now? But I'm going to be honest, though, this match was kind of sloppy.
Yeah.
And I think this was not my favorite match, which is, it's going to be, you know, this is kind of, you know, I take that back. No, because even the matches we've had with these four before were actually the good. This one was not my favorite of the ones that we've seen the last couple of weeks for sure. But I support all four of these women in here, and at least it gets Indy and Candice. But what I'm hoping now is that we move this to the next part of the story, if there is one in place for everyone. So what's the next step for Indy and Candice? Where are we going to go with them? And that's where I'm kind of at of where we're going with them.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the plan is. It felt to me after the photos this weekend with Austin Theory that they were going to bring back The Way. But I guess we're probably not going to go there because they're all separate. So either way, whatever they do, I trust it. I trust what Candice LeRae does. I'm excited for Indy and her future. So I'm looking forward to it. The next women's tag team match is the one that's the one I'm excited to talk about.
Oh, I am too. That one's going to be fun. So we're going to quickly move on from this because Dominic Mysterio done messed up before. He couldn't recruit Andrade to the Judgment Day. So now we get to the match that I've actually been wanting to see. Andrade versus Dominic Mysterio. This was... I'm like, Dominic, I want you and Andrade to work more because I thought there. This was a fun match, and I want... You know, I wouldn't be surprised. I would like to see Andrade kind of take Dominic under his wing a little bit. Can you even imagine? This was a fun match. I really, really dug this one.
When I watched this match, I thought to myself, I can't believe that we found a talent like Andrade and we just let him go to like the minor leagues over there on TNT. This dude is so special. When I watch him work, I mean, a former NXT world champion, I want him and Zelina together. That's what he's missing, is Zelina Vega. But he's got all the tools. And Dom, my God, Damian Priest was so right. Dom is just better and better and better. And this match was my favorite match of the evening. Nothing came close. Nothing. Not even the main event. The main event couldn't touch this.
Well, I mean, I kind of have to agree with you in the sense that because this is a matchup we haven't seen yet, and I'm happy we got it, and I want to see more of it. More importantly, like I said, I think Dominic and Andrade taking him under his wing, I think would be fantastic. But this was a lot of fun, and I want to see more of this. I want to see more. which then resulted after the match. Judgment Day comes out, they attack Andrade, but Ricochet comes down to make the save, which continues the storyline that JD and Dominic have continued to fail to keep Ricochet at bay. So now Ricochet is inserting himself with this whole thing between Judgment Day and Andrade. So I'm like, all right, Andrade and Ricochet are going to be getting more screen time too. I'm not going to complain. Give me Prince Puma and Andrade. Let's go.
Yes, I want that. Give me that against the Judgment Day. I think that's beautiful. It's a great pairing. I got to be honest with you. I was fantasy booking this yesterday when I watched Dom and Andrade, and I thought to myself, oh, next week I want Andrade versus JD. The week after, I want Andrade versus Finn Balor. And then I want him to make his way up to Damian Priest. I was like, man, what? Just make his way through. I love it.
Look, Andrade versus Damian Priest is like, this is the black and gold NXT match that I want a fantasy, but give me. I'm happy to see Andrade be back in WWE. I'm just happy to be him be utilized properly. So this is going to be good. I can't wait. This is going to be a load of fun. So then we get a women's tag team match. Chelsea Green versus Piper Niven versus Katana Chance and Kaden Carter. I love me some Chelsea Green. Her character work is probably one of my favorite things. And she doesn't complain about getting squashed half the time because she's always going to be on television, which is what she's built her career on. And she's making the most of it. And when, you know, it's inevitable when she wins that women's championship at some point, is going to be huge. The crowd loves her. Internet loves her. I love her. And Chelsea and Piper actually pick up a win here.
I thought this was phenomenal. I love this spot where she gets caught in midair, like jumping off Chelsea's back. Just a brilliant little match here. I'm so impressed every time I see Chelsea. I also am a massive fan of Piper Niven. I think she's one of the most underrated talents. I know it's hard to say underrated and there's so many underrated talents, but she is definitely one of those talents that I wish they did more with. And I wouldn't mind them winning those tag titles back. That would be cool.
I would too. It would be fantastic. I love that Chelsea made this, like, she celebrated this win like it was her WrestleMania moment, which was super fantastic.
Yes.
Again, this was great. Okay, so now we get to the discourse when it comes to the women's division, because we cut backstage and good old Kathy Kelly. Hey, Kathy. She is talking with Liv Morgan. And so Kathy brings up the fact that the crowd in Canada booed her.
Damn right they did.
And they did, and they didn't like it. So she wanted to get Liv's thoughts. So Liv cuts this interview / promo. And she says, I'm kind of surprised they're booing me because, you know, I only did to Rhea what she did to me. Did everyone forget that she dislocated my shoulder, took me out for a couple of, she took me out for months. And so an eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, a shoulder for a shoulder. And so basically Liv sets this up as, you know, she's going to come for the women's title and the revenge tour is just starting. And yeah, she's coming for the title. I'm going to let my constituent go first because I think I might have an opposite opinion of him.
Well,
and this is where our working relationship goes down the toilet. No, I'm just kidding. All right, Macho, you have the floor. I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay, so first things first. This is the world's tiniest violin for Liv Morgan with the fans booing her. Get over it. Listen, her fans only live on the internet. They rarely show up. She gets barely any pop. Nobody buys her merchandise. I get it that she's like very pretty, and that seems to be like the consensus as to why people love her. But when I watch her in the ring, she has the worst finisher since Stu Henson's heart punch. And I also think to myself, like, she can't cut a great promo. That yesterday, it felt like whining. Like, is that the objective? Because if that's the objective, it's working. if she's a heel now, and this is a way to do it, and they're like, all right, we're going to do that. We're going to make her the heel. But as a babyface, if they put the title on her, it's gonna work out the exact same way they put the title on her the first time. She doesn't have a character. That's what's missing. Rhea, when she was the champion the first time and she dropped the title to Charlotte, she didn't have a character. She wasn't like the brutality thing. It wasn't really a thing. Sasha and Charlotte, when they first came up and they were bouncing, remember when they were bouncing the title back and forth? It was like Charlotte would win the premium live events. Sasha would win it back on Raw. And it was like, oh, why are they doing that? Because neither one of them had a character. They had to develop those things. Dude, this has been like almost a decade of Liv Morgan still not having a specific character. I don't understand. Like, that's why I think that's what's missing from her. That's what it really is. You know, I don't know. When I look at what's happening with Liv Morgan, I just think to myself, oh man, anyone but her. She's going to hold the title for a month and a half, and then every fan on the internet's going to cry that she's not being booked properly. Listen, eventually it has to be her fault, right?
Okay. So I see where you're coming from, and there are certain points I agree with. I think Liv has a character, but it's not defined properly. So the way my mindset comes from is because I come from it from a writing perspective and a writer's perspective. So the important thing for me is when we are looking at characters, we need to have two things. You need to have a character motivation, like what drives their inner thoughts and turmoils and things like that. Yes, I'm getting very philosophical and very literary about it, but that's how my brain operates. And the other thing is that we need to have a defining character. I'm a little more optimistic because while right now I think Liv is still trying to define what this character is, my biggest hope from this is that as we progress through the summer over the next couple months, or however long Rhea is out, whether she is the champion or not, I hope that she is able to pinpoint a direction and pinpoint some character motivation and direction she wants to go. Because ultimately, for me personally, whether she's champion or not, it doesn't matter because we are eventually going to be building towards Rhea and Liv at some point. People say it's going to be for the championship. That might be a possibility. But for me personally, I don't think Liv needs to have the title to have this grudge match with Rhea. What I'm hoping is that with Rhea's time off, Liv takes this time to find the character motivation in the decade because I like her. I like her personality. I like her in real life. But as far as a wrestling character goes, I like the aesthetic because I'm very Tim Burton-esque. So that always is going to get a pop for me. But I want her to go deeper than what we've been seeing her so far. But I love her to death, and I'm not going to be negative to her. I just hope that she takes this as an opportunity to dive deeper into what she wants to do for this heel character is where I'm coming from. So I can see some pins and points. I just need her and booking and creative to dive a little deeper and take some risks with her because I think it could pay off if she dives deep enough for it. That's where I'm at. Do I want her to be champion? Selfishly, yes, because I'm a big Liv fan. But at the same time, who knows who's going to be champion by the end of this? Because there's a couple other women who have staked their claim. And we're going to talk about this right now because Nia cuts a promo and she is coming for that title too, which, look, I think despite me not liking Nia's promos half the time, I think she has vastly improved in the ring. And also, I'm here to support a woman who be looking good and takes care of herself. I was like, you go, Nia. You look great, girl. I was like, I like the hair. You're doing really good for yourself. I'm interested to see who ends up walking out as champion next week. And we never got confirmation. Is it a one-on-one match? Are we going to have a battle royale? Is it going to be a gauntlet match? Because who knows at this point?
Championship scramble.
Please give me a championship scramble match. That's one of them.
Yes, Minnie's here. The Lucha don't got suplex through Suplex City. So I'm here now.
Nice. I love it. Welcome back.
So, Macho, it seems we have survived the conversation.
I mean, I'm floored. I'm floored by one thing you said. I think wrestling is subjective, so I think we can all have different opinions. I mean, I say this all the time on my TikToks. Wrestling is a circus. We all go for different things, all right? Some people go for the world's strongest man. Some people go for the guessing game or the mentalist. It's all of it. The fact that you said you don't like Nia Jax's promos and you just said that Liv Morgan cuts good promos to me is what's like, I feel like I've just had a conversation with Donald Trump.
Wow.
Like, you know,
I mean,
not calling you Trump, but it's just like he says the most incoherent things sometimes. And it's like, like I'm trying to figure out where is the memorable Liv Morgan promo? What did I miss?
I'm gonna be honest. I'm biased because I like Liv. So, I mean, take that as you will. Like, that's where I'm at with it. And I'm not afraid to say it. Mm-hmm. But where I am coming from still stands. I'm hoping that she takes this opportunity to find a more defined version of, you know, the character she's been trying to go for, because if she doesn't, she is not going to get the support that she has. She didn't get the support during her last championship run, and I don't want to see that be a repeat for her. Obviously, I want people to improve. That's my thing.
You don't think beating Ronda Rousey twice and not taking a single loss till that Extreme Rules match is not support enough?
How do I put this? I think yes, but if we're looking at everything that happened leading up to it, I think beating Ronda definitely was a big deal and it got me excited. And she beat her twice. However, it's everything that came after Ronda that was a bit questionable at best. I'm like, where are we going? Oh, okay. Never mind. She lost the title. We're good. All right. Back to our normally scheduled program.
Yeah, I just wonder if they just didn't see it in her. Like, I wonder if she's Dolph Ziggler. Like, we've all heard the story where Vince McMahon, he said, all right, Ziggler's cashing in, but we're not pushing him, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I'm wondering if that's what they thought. Like, all right, let's just give the fans, like, a thank you. You know, like, here you go. Here's your girl. Here's the internet, you know, darling. Let's try that. But I think they wanted her to turn out like Daniel Bryan. And I don't think she was able to. I really don't know. For me, there's something missing. Maybe. I don't know. I mean, I don't think she's as bad as Mercedes. So, I mean, that's saying something. I mean, I think she's a better promo than Mercedes. I like her progress in the ring. I think that Elimination Chamber match, I thought she was like the MVP of that match. That was really good. You know, I thought she played it really well. I think her and Becky Lynch are a marriage made in heaven. You know, I think the two of them working together, I don't know what it is about the two of them, but Becky brings out the best version of Liv. That's the problem. Like, she can't work Becky for the rest of her career. She has to build the rapport with everyone. Rhea works everybody stellarly. You know, Charlotte works everybody the same way. Becky, you know, Bianca, Asuka, all these women are able to multitask. She needs to work specific people. I think Nia should win because she's got Dominic Mysterio heat. And I think that's what we
I mean, I'd be here for a Nia Jax championship run, too. Like, the thing is that I'm in a position right now, given where we're at, like, there's a lot of women I really wouldn't mind seeing take this title. Mm-hmm. And there's a whole bunch of reasons. I can at least name one reason for each of these. But obviously, I think the top of that list is probably Nia and Liv at the moment. But who knows? They might surprise us next week.
Probably not.
Stay tuned for next week's episode to find out if we were right or if we were all completely thrown off. Like,
listen, because we all saw the movie Joanna Man. I mean, I think if he shaved, right, he can, you know what I mean? Like, he might be able to do it. We could get the, you know, I'm just saying. It'll be exciting. Either way, it'll be exciting.
No, and regardless of where we stand, I'm like, if it gets more women on my television screen, I am all here for it. And I'm going to be completely honest, because certain other companies aren't just doing it for me when it comes to that department, and they need to do better. That's for another podcast. So we go from there and we kind of move on from what we're getting set up to do. And this is where we get the other thing where Cody Rhodes appears on Monday Night Raw for the last time, in my opinion. Because essentially, Cody cuts this promo and acknowledges, is like, yes, I am a Friday Night SmackDown star, which means obviously he's going to be moving over to SmackDown permanently come the draft, which the fact that we still have a draft is kind of nuts to me. But hopefully it will be a lot better than what we've had it be so far in the past. But Cody cuts his promo. He is technically a Friday Night SmackDown. He thanks Seth Rollins for being his shield, which, you know, thank you, Seth, chance, breakout. And then he kind of hands the babyface torch in a weird way to Jay, because with Cody going to SmackDown, technically that means on paper that Jay is your top babyface right now, which is a sentence I would never thought I would say in the time that Jay has been in this company, but I'm here for the yeet movement. And of course, you know, Cody and Jay have the history with being the tag champs for a little bit. And so I thought this was a nice moment. Obviously, this is the Cody promo that I'm used to seeing all the time, but it was really nice to see him metaphorically give that babyface torch for Raw to Jay, because technically, Jay is your top babyface now on Raw.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. One Cody promo's the same as another one. I mean, I'm excited for him to be champ. I think we are just biding time until the winner of LA Knight and AJ Styles. That's when I think things will pick up for Cody. That's when I think he'll start to actually cut the promos and do all the stuff. That's why I want it to be LA Knight, because I feel like him and Cody going barb for barb, I think it's going to be good for the both of them. But we also don't want a Bray Wyatt situation to happen where LA Knight goes out there, cuts promos with Cody, and the fans are like, oh wow, like, we want LA to win. Like, that could really be detrimental to Cody's run. But yeah, I mean,
I personally think they should wait on LA until, like, I think AJ should win the feud and have Cody versus AJ, because to be honest with you, we just got out of almost three, four years of a heel being the champion that's run with the babyface as the main champion for a while. Mm. We haven't had a babyface champion in a while. So let's run with it for right now. We have a heel on the other one, a babyface on this one. Let's rock with Cody till at least SummerSlam. Then if you want to turn him heel then have LA Knight come in and take it at SummerSlam, that's where you shoot that shot. For right now, I think AJ should take this, and we do AJ versus Cody, just so we can get that he can maintain his babyface status for a while.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's AJ Styles being the answer is never going to be the wrong answer. The guy is his name. He's phenomenal, so it makes sense.
And he can run it, because AJ hasn't had a 1-on-1 with Cody, but he's had a 1-on-1 with Dusty, so.
Yeah,
that was an interesting fact that I learned earlier in the week. I'm like, oh yeah, I forgot about that.
The American Dream.
Baby. I'm excited.
That's right, Daddy.
Oh my goodness, I love it. So then we get into our semi-main event where we see Jey Uso take on Finn Balor. Oof. So Jey is in the ring and all this goodness. Finn does the music for Finn hits. Jay's wondering where he's at, and Finn jumps Jay from behind. I'm like, baller. I like when people jump people in wrestling, because we haven't seen it in a hot minute. And I thought this was a really, again, I had fun during this match, because it's a matchup that I don't think I've seen Jay versus Finn in this capacity 1-on-1 like this. I keep saying this every week. I want Finn's shoes. Finn, you need to give me the hookup of who you got giving you the shoes, because those Judgment Day shoes with the purple, I'm like, I need some in my life, man. Like, I will buy those in a heartbeat.
I know, right? That's what I said. I was telling him the other day, we were having a conversation. I was like, what's up, man? I collect Jordans. Like, where are my Jordan brand, you know, Roman shoes that he wore at WrestleMania? Like, I want a pair. So I'm like, what's going on with
those?
This?
Those were cool, but those were custom made, sent by Jordan to him.
Yeah,
that's fucked up.
Yeah, Jordan brand made custom shoes and sent them to him as a gift.
That's fucked up. I named my daughter after that motherfucker. I named my daughter Jordan. Listen, like,
oh my goodness,
Jordan, hit us up.
Yeah, right.
Yo, if we get a sponsor. Yo, Jordan, give us a sponsorship, man.
Email us at whatever our business name all is.
Yeah, that's right. Jumpman 23. We'll put that logo right up at the top.
Again, I thought this was a really fun match. And again, because we have Jay, who technically is the number one contender to Damian Priest's title, we get Jay to another win. But Finn doesn't look bad in losing, because then Damian comes out, him and Jay have a face-to-face, which then leads to the rest of the Judgment Day boys kind of jumping Jay in this whole entire bit. I also want to mention this here, too, because it seems that we're slowly starting to take the turn, because Finn and Damian kind of have a disagreement earlier in the night backstage, because Finn's like, hey, we should probably get these tag titles back. It was like, no, I got to focus on this real quick. I'm like,
that's right.
The turn is happening. I can't
listen. Give me that Finn Balor versus Damian Priest at SummerSlam. But let's add the fact that Finn Balor is the guy who took Damian Priest's United States Championship. That needs to be a part of the feud. Let's go. Fair.
Triple threat. Add Dominic Mysterio.
Just a whole Judgment Day, like.
Yeah, Judgment Day implodes over the belt. That's how a lot of factions break up, is over the main belt. That's what happened
to Evolution. J.G. McDonough as the referee. Let's go.
No, forget that. To get mommy to return, mommy's the referee.
Whoever wins the match gets mommy.
Oh, whoever wins. Shit.
What is this, mommy on a pole match?
I volunteer a tribute.
I will take a south side. I'll take a razor's edge.
I'll do anything. I'll take a coup de grace. I'll take a South of Heaven. I will take a 619. I will do whatever it takes.
I wouldn't take a coup de grace. I'm not sure how bad that feels.
Actually, yeah, you know what? That doesn't sound great.
Yeah, for mommy, I'll take a coup de grace.
Listen, I ain't taking no 619 from Dom because he doesn't do it right, but I'll take his frog splash. Like,
oh, the frog splash.
I would take any move besides a Bill Goldberg super kick for mommy.
Oh yeah. I ain't taking that shit from Goldberg. No way. Listen, for mommy, good. I'll take a Braun Breaker spear.
I'm thinking about it. Yes, I would too. I would be hurting, but I would.
I would take a Yokozuna being mad at me bonsai drop.
Yo, I've thought about driving around this state that I live in to find Adam Cole just to beat him up for his girlfriend. Be like, listen, like, Britt Baker deserves better.
That is for a whole nother podcast, but there are things you're willing to do for mommy. Because there are things that Jay's willing to do. He gets jumped by Judgment Day, but then he's able to kind of save himself a little bit and also fire back before running through the crowd. And again, we get one of my favorite new things that we are doing in WWE with these extended camera shots. We're following Jay through the arena, and then we follow him outside where he meets up with Sami Zayn, who's staring at the entrance of this building. Sami says that 25 years ago, this was his first wrestling show that he watched, and now he's going to wrestle in it. Jay tells him to go get it, and then we follow Sami as he makes his entrance to the crowd, and it is time for the main event, as Mark Henry would tell us on another promotion. We have an WWE Intercontinental Championship match between Sami Zayn and Chad Gable. I'm gonna be completely honest. This was what I expected, but I kind of wanted a little more. I still enjoyed it. I just wish we got a little bit more. I'm like, y'all, I'm like, Sammy, you put a whole entire brainbuster onto Gunther to get that title at WrestleMania. I'm like, I don't know if Chad Gable wanted to do that. So, and if he didn't want to, I totally understand. But I'm like, y'all could have went a little harder with this one. But I thought it was a fine match. I enjoyed it, but I wanted more.
No, I thought this match was exactly what it needed to be because it helped the turn. I thought this was a perfect way to get to that story. Chad Gable loses the match, his last match as a babyface. And then he's like, you know what? I'm done with this. I'm just going to beat this dude in his hometown. I'm going to pull a Kurt Angle and give him an ankle lock at the top turnbuckle. Oh, man. He grabbed Sammy from a hug with his wife and gave him a German suplex. That is the most baller move I've ever seen. He just throws him around, beats him down. Now he is that vicious heel. I mean, this is where Chad Gable got known.
Are we going to have heel Alpha Academy? Like Otis is a heel?
I don't know. Whatever Maxine Dupree wants to do, I'm following.
True.
She wants. But Otis as a heel? Oh my God. Can you imagine him as the heater? Every time Chad Gable went to do something, he's the guy that comes in and just like pounds him down. Oh my God. That would be, I hope you're right. I hope that's what happens. Give me that.
It goes from the caterpillar to the moth.
Oh yeah. Just give me that. I love it. I'm down with all that.
Akira Tozawa starts winning matches because he's starting to fight dirty.
Yes. Give me that. Yo, wouldn't it be the funniest story if Akira Tozawa just started walking around like right now with his shoulders all out and shit because Rhea Ripley's not around to pick on him? Like, wouldn't that be funny?
I would love to see it. It'd be fantastic. So as far as the match itself, I wish there was a lot more, but I did appreciate that now Chad Gable's the heel, which is what I wanted to see for a very long time at this point. After he kept losing and kept losing and kept losing, so now heel Chad Gable's gonna be fun. Sammy has his first program feud with, you know, Chad Gable. I think this is gonna be fantastic. It's gonna be a good time for sure. And this brings us to the end of this week's Monday Night Raw. So let's get through the empanada ratings for everything.
They're calling DIY Regeneration X.
Ooh, I like it. I love
get
it.
Get on it.
I'm giving them an extra.
I don't think it was some guy on Twitter called Crispy Wrestling. List. Shout out to him. He says Regeneration X are the number one contenders for the tag titles.
I love it. I love it. Just for that, I'm giving this an 8, but
8 out of 10 empanadas. Nice.
Absolutely.
I'm going to give this a 7.5 empanadas for me. I still thought this was a solid show. And, you know, talking it through and talking it with you guys, I realized I was like, I actually enjoyed this a lot more than I thought I did.
Yeah.
So this is good.
I'm going to give it an 8 only because I was able to suplex Lucha Dome.
Love it.
Super fantastic. Well, that's going to bring us the end to here. So time to do a bit of housekeeping before we go and do anything else. But thank you so much for tuning into another review. If you enjoy what we do here at BC Wrestle Pod, you can check the other stuff we got going on the YouTube channel. You can check us out all over the social medias at BC Wrestle Pod. We are also an affiliate sponsor with Next Level. So you can also check out our Next Level profile page with all our stuff in terms of social media, Patreon, the podcast stuff we got going on, and you can also drop a tip to PayPal and Venmo if you like. So support channel because it's expensive to do all this, so we want to make it grow. And then, of course, if you realize, you know, I want to listen and support, but I can't watch you guys on a regular basis, don't worry. We have audio podcast versions of all our reviews that come out a day later after the videos do on YouTube. So you could take us on the go with whatever business you got going on. And then, of course, last but certainly not least, if you want to see some of us hosts live and in person, the East Coast Collective of JVL, Jesse, Adolfo, and myself are going to be at New Jersey Wrestle Show Saturday, May 18th and Sunday, May 19th. We are going to have a table there. Come say hi, buy some merch. You know, just have a conversation with us. There's going to be lots of wrestlers there, and we feel honored and privileged that we get to be a part of the action. It's going to be super fantastic. Okay, so the three of us are going to get up on out of here, but from all of us here at Raw Squad Reviews and the rest of BC WrestlePod, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, stay Biconic, and more importantly, you deserve to finish your story. We will catch you on the flip side. But until then, ta-ta for now.
What do you mean finish your story? How dare you?
Thank you so much for tuning in to another Vibe Tribe production. What's going to happen next time? Well, you're going to have to tune in to find out. But until then, remember, take care of yourself, love one another, and as always, make sure that you keep the good times rolling. Thank you for being here, and we'll see you next time.